are talking about a massively, massively important topic. It is a topic which is important for two reasons. Number one, it's important because it has a lot of relevance in the world of machshava, relevance in terms of understanding the nature of this world. The topic which we began speaking about last week a little bit has to do with the phenomenon of anti-Semitism, the phenomenon of non-Jews that treat Jews a particular way. In particular, we were framing it last week in the context of Parshas Yisro as to how exactly that works given Matan Torah. That in Matan Torah, two things seem to happen. We seem to distinguish ourselves as being the Mamlechas Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh, and the Am Segula, as the Torah tells us in the prelude setting up for Maimon Har Sinai. We also know that the Medrash tells us that Har Sinai is called Har Sinai because Misham Yarad Sin Al Yisrael, that from that place came hatred. At the same time we're on the Am HaNivchar, there was something about us being the Am HaNivchar which also generated, which also on some level caused us to feel or to have a certain kind of sinna which takes place. In that sense, the Netziv has a particular theory. It is that he's not the only to have this theory, although he develops it in a very, very unique way. It is a Torah which the Netziv has, to my knowledge. It's his commentary on Chumash in Bereishis Perek Tesvav, in Shmos Perek Aleph, in Bamidbar Perek Kaf Gimel, in Dvarim Perek Lamed Gimel, in Dvarim Perek Lamed Beis, Hey my daughter, gracious parak mem vav, shut me shut daughter, aleph mem dal, shut me shut daughter, dal, ein aleph, shut me shut daughter, I think also in the chilek hey, and my chef from that got in a couple different places, and more. This is the yisod of his that he thought was massively, massively important. Like the beauty of the Netziv, it's as the Yushalmi says, Divrei Torah are aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher, that Divrei Torah sometimes are not always presented fully in one location, so a person has to know shas to know anything in a certain sense. That sometimes that we can sort of put things together. So the Netziv, the more that we go through the Netziv as a whole, what I really tried to do was sort of go through these Netzivs to present a particular Yisod, to discuss the understanding what's behind that Yisod and why that would be, and to do our best to understand the context in which the Netziv thinks this emerges. It has massive implications for how you understand Psukim, has massive implications for what the ideal Jewish community is supposed to look like. Of what the Netziv was fairly opinionated and was osek in, not only as a person that wrote Chumash and gave shir, it's in Merom Yisad, also Megillah, I should comment, but also a person that was a communal person who was Reshiva Velashin in a very important way. So let's begin like this. So again, we're trying to understand the relation between Am HaNivchar and anti-Semitism and hatred towards Jews, but There is a section in the Haggadah that many of us know. Hisha amdala avoseinu, and there was shelo echad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu gash baruch hu matzleinu miyada. That every generation that there seems to be this phenomenon she b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. That there happens to be this phenomenon that in every generation, it doesn't mean all non-Jews, doesn't mean in every particular year, but there's a phenomenon called hatred of Klal Yisrael, and they're omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. It seems to be very, very intense. And the Netziv understands, and the Netziv points out, as do many others, it's not the shebechol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu indicates that there's something fundamental here. It's not like a random form of hatred. A random occurrence could happen once in a while, but if it's something which happens consistently, shebechol dor v'dor, that probably tells us, and the Netziv doesn't frame it this way, but it probably tells that we're dealing with something which is actually very, very real. We're dealing with something which is very, very important. We're dealing with something which is very important. And we have to try to understand what exactly is behind that. So I want to try to develop the yisod. I want to try to develop it. It's going to take a little bit of time to say it out. We spoke last week how from Rabbi Nachum Zemba, the idea of halacha, yadua, that even Rashbi, who can be Dorish time in the Kra, can't understand why Esav hates Yaakov because it doesn't have a deeper reason. It's a mitzias more than anything else. Some of the farce we speak about it in terms of a particular form of jealousy, which may have taken place. Rabbi Rucham we quoted last week, the Mir Mashkiach, with Torah about this. But the Netziv has a particular theory, and it begins as follows. Klal Yisrael, suggests the Netziv, is elevated. That Klal Yisrael is a group which is more chashev. That Klal Yisrael is a group which is compared to Eish. The pasuk can say for Avadia, Vaya, Beis Yaakov, Eish, fire, which is a quality of massive power, a quality that is very, very unique, a quality which is very, very special. That Klal Yisrael has, he writes, in McGovern, in Bamidbar, in Perek Chof Gimel, Bilam, the concept of Bilam, who identifies B'nai Yisrael as being Am Levadad Yishkon in a certain sense, Uvagoyim Lo Yishkashem, that there he says, that Yitzura La'am Hashem, Yitzura Miuchedes Gvoa Mishar Anashem. We are considered to be elevated, we are considered to be unique. There are two ways that you could have gone if you know that Klal Yisrael is elevated and Klal Yisrael is unique. One way you could have gone, wait, three ways, but one way you could have gone is that Klal Yisrael, by virtue of them being unique, what we want to do is have them be spread out amongst all of the other nations. That if you have this small group of people that are particularly gifted, that are elevated, so I could easily make the argument that what would make the most sense in the world would be to have those people and to spread them out throughout so that those people could be everywhere. That mashal l'mahadavar doma is part of the theory of Chabad, Chassidus, and Shlichas, that you have a group of people that are uniquely talented, uniquely gifted, and the idea being the Baba Terebi's foresight was to say, let's take those people and spread them out and have them be accessible and available in different areas. And then we'll be able to uplift in that kind of a way. That's something which makes a lot of sense. Says the Nitziv understands things in the opposite direction. That because Klal Yisrael is unique, and because Klal Yisrael is gvoa, is higher up, mikol shar ha'anashem, from all other people, it is important that they emerge as being unique, and that they be as separate as possible. That we look to have communities that are not fully integrated. We look to have communities in which the Jewish people are separate. We see this, says the Nitziv, in a variety of contexts and in a variety of psukim, where we are told that B'nai Yisrael, like according to from Bilam, that Hein Am Levadad Yishkon V'Goyim Lo Yishashav, that Pasuk in Dvar Perek Lamigim of Yishkon Yisrael Betach Badad. And there's this idea that we, in a certain sense, Hashem Badad Yanchenu Ve'Ein Imo El Nechar, that we are considered to be people who are separate and distinct. And we're supposed to almost minimize as much as possible our interactions and our connections with others. What happens, says the Nitziv, when that is lost? What happens when that's lost? What the Nitziv refers to, and again, we're combining a lot of different pieces here, but what the Nitziv refers to as Derech HaTeva. The Derech HaTeva is that people, this he writes in Bereishis and Parak Tesvav, the Derech HaTeva is that people are searching, humans are social beings, and people don't want to be separate, and people want to be integrated. And when I'm hanging out with people, when I'm talking with people, I want to build a connection with them. No one likes to feel like they are alone in this world, and people like to feel like they have connections. That is Teva Anashim, Liyos Me'ura, Im Am HaShochim Bekirbo, that if you're in America, and even though you're a Jew, that I want to connect and be like an American. I want to be like that. That assimilation is a very natural phenomenon. It's one that makes a lot of sense. So argues the Nitziv. It happens to be, says the Nitziv, at the same time that it's a natural phenomenon, not only is it a natural phenomenon, but for the non-Jews, it is their derech to success. For non-Jews, it makes sense that they're going to integrate with others, that they're going to learn from others, they're going to build a degree of connection. So the Umos HaOlam, this is not just a natural phenomenon, but it's a phenomenon which makes a lot of sense. Klal Yisrael, however, functions differently, says Nitziv. And Klal Yisrael needs to be an Am Levadad Ishkon. Am Yisrael needs to be an Am, which is Bodeid. We need to be alone. And us to be alone, if we are alone, we'll be in a good place. Says Nitziv. But the second that we stop being alone, the second that we start wanting to be like the other nations, wanting to be and not spending enough time just with ourselves, but we want to aspire to be, we're more connected, we're more integrated into secular culture, to the culture of the Umos HaOlam, the more that happens, as Nitziv, that is always what generates a sinah from Akam to Klal Yisrael, a sinah from non-Jews to Jewish people. The Nitziv is not in this situation here. He's not defending those who are anti-Semitic and saying what they're doing is okay. He's describing the phenomenon from Klal Yisrael's perspective as to what we could do in order to prevent it on some level. Again, not blaming the victim. We're very, very sensitive here. Describing more almost like in a metaphysical sense the way that the world functions. And the Nitziv says that part of the goal of Klal Yisrael is to be an Am which is isolated. And an Am which is isolated is going to be better protected, says Nitziv. But it happens to be, this is counterintuitive. And it happens to be, if you would look around the world, people would say, the best way to be protected is to become part of, to become part of the secular culture. The more that you are seen as being one with, the less that they're going to turn on, that they're going to be upset with you. Some of us would counter from Nazi Germany, where the Jews were very much integrated and very much connected, and it didn't always work that way. But there isn't, there is a certain kind of phenomenon here, says the Nitziv, this is what's going on. He says, this is Pshat in the Gemara, it's a Hedron and Daf Kuf Dalet. The Gemara is Hedron Daf Kuf Dalet says, Amar Gosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti, V'yishkon Yisrael, Betach Badad, the Pasuk in Dvar and Paraklam Gimbal. The Baruch Shalom says, I created you to be alone. What happens when we are not alone, when we are with the Umos HaOlam? Echa Yashva Badad. That at that point in time, the response is Chorba. The Baruch Shalom is going to have us be feeling that sense of loneliness. And in a certain sense, says Nitziv, that is the source for things. Why is that so? So Nitziv understands this is all a function of Klal Yisrael being elevated. That part of Klal Yisrael being elevated, part of Klal Yisrael being unique, this is part of it. This is part of it. It's what we're able to do. That part of what makes Klal Yisrael unique is this capacity for us, I think we're past that point now, is us to be able to ensure that we are going to be in a that we're going to be able to be successful. Person that wants to be, like, I'll give you an example. Let's say you go around a lot of places and I look around and people aren't, like, I don't know, taking notes in lectures or things like that. So it's not a segula for anything. I'm a nifkar. That's what we are. So it happens as follows. So says Nitziv, why is it so? Because B'nai Yisrael is compared to Eish. B'nai Yisrael is compared to Eish. Vayal Beis Yaakov Eish. Umas HaOlam, the Pasuk can say for Yeshaya, are compared to Mayim. What's the relationship between Eish and Mayim, says Nitziv, the following very, very fundamental idea. If you have to isolate, fire is on some level a more elevated and more impressive form of quality. Fire can burn. Fire has the ability to improve water. That if you take water, you can boil water, you can cook water, you can cleanse water through boiling it. The fire has the ability in that sense. At the same time, if you take that same fire and you don't channel it properly, if it's kept separate from the water a little bit, the pot is there and you're boiling the water, so it can purify. It can purify the water. But if you take the fire and you mix it entirely with water, what happens is the water puts out the fire. Says Nitziv, welcome to the world of Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. Klal Yisrael, when they're separate, so Eish is incredibly chashav. It's an unbelievable thing. And if you're separate enough, you can even be machshir the mayim, and you'll be more protected. And the fire will have this amazing koach, and it's going to be something which can accomplish and do so much. But if it's fully integrated with the world of water, so then what happens? Is that it gets burned out, and Klal Yisrael loses what it has, and Klal Yisrael stops being miyuchad, and then Klal Yisrael can get burned out, and you must all respond in that kind of a way. Says Nitziv in a different piece, a very important yisod that he has in Sefer Bamidbar, which is as follows. Misha tshuraso gvoa. If a person is elevated, ume'abed umashchis tshuraso, and you lose your tshura, na'ase garua me'asher tachtav umizvaza Allah. If there are different levels of creation, there are things here, 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 and things that elevated a little bit. So if what makes you unique, what makes a Jew unique, as an example, is, let's say, Torah, work off the Kuzari, that Am Yisrael is a level above, as we quoted last time. When Am Yisrael loses that connection to Torah, the Tziv says the phenomenon is when you fall hard. When you fall below. So if you lose Torah, you don't fall back to be like the Umos HaOlam. When you fall below the Umos HaOlam. In a certain sense, we can understand that phenomenon. When you have someone that's accomplishing what they're supposed to be accomplishing, they're in a very stable, good spot. When someone has the potential for more and then they fail, they have the potential for more and they don't maximize that potential, there's a bizayon which is present there. That you look down and there's a certain busha, you know, which is there. I'll give you a mashal. I hope this mashal is okay. It's a sports mashal. You can be cholik on this mashal, but it really hit me at the time. On Hanukkah, I took my kids two of my boys to a Paul Uchtdlein basketball game. There was a first round pick in the first pick overall in the NBA draft a bunch of years ago. His name is
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. Anthony Bennett was pick number one in the draft. Anthony Bennett was there on the bench. They Apollo Yerushalayim did not have. They only were allowed to have a certain amount of players in uniform that game, and he was not even able to be in uniform. Meaning, they did not think that of all the players on the team, that on Apollo Yerushalayim, that Anthony Bennett should even be playing. He's sitting there. He's sitting there on the side. We could all admit, in a certain sense, that a guy. Okay, so you have NBA, and then you have EuroLeague basketball. You have EuroLeague basketball. Keith Demashal, it's really an important one. A guy who Stam is playing professional basketball, you're on a Paul Yerushalayim, it's a professional team. Mari played on there, it's a professional team. So that's what it is. That's a chashuv thing, and it's a very, very solid thing. It's a chashuv thing, and it's a solid thing. But when you see that Anthony Bennett, who was picked number one in the NBA draft and had the potential, maybe, if you hold, he had the potential, for a whole lot more, and then he's playing ball with them over there, there's a bizayon which is present. It's a busha which is present. Because others, that's where they are. They accomplished their potential. That's where they are. He should be somewhere else. He should be in America right now playing ball. And Nebuch is sitting on the bench on the team. Many people that if you find out that a guy is on the YU basketball team right now ends up, while being Shomer Shabbos, ends up playing on Hapoel Yerushalayim, ends up playing on that team. So he ends up even sitting on the bench on that team. There would be a certain chashivas there. That's serious high-level basketball. But if you should be more and you miss it, there's a busha which is present. Says the Nativ, albeit without my mashal, says the Nativ, only because it didn't happen yet, says the Nativ, I think that was Klai Yisrael also. Klai Yisrael is supposed to be playing in the NBA. Supposed to be in the NBA. If you decide you don't want to play in the NBA, you decide that you want to, that you're going to start being a role player, in the EuroLeague, what a bizayon. You'd be playing something. It's more of a design than anyone else. The other guys, they're there. It's Chashev, a Polish lion. Him, it's like a Polish lion. It's a little bit like, it comes with an element of bizayon. It comes with an element of bizayon because of what he could be. The Nativ understands something. And here I want to just point out, he argued you see this in Chumash in a lot of different contexts. We're going to speak about one briefly, and then we're going to develop a little bit more, one which is relevant to our Parshios, which is, I think, amazingly beautiful, and I think very, very powerful. And Siv points out as follows. Number one, when Yaakov Avinu, we go down to Mitzrayim. We'll focus only on that. We go down to Mitzrayim. How do we go down to Mitzrayim? So Torah tells us that in Brit Ben Habsarim, V'yomer Lavram, Yadoa Teda, what are we supposed to be in Eretz Mitzrayim? Ki ger yiyezer acha be'eretz lo lahem. We're supposed to be gerim. Gerim, by definition, are those that are not fully integrated. Gerim are those that are not fully in. They're not fully integrated. And when Klai Yisrael goes down, when Yaakov Avinu goes down, Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu's real kavana was not to live in Mitzrayim, it was to be a ger in Mitzrayim. That's why the Psukim tell us that where does Klai Yisrael go? We understood this phenomenon very well. Klai Yisrael goes to Eretz Goshen. Klai Yisrael goes to Eretz Goshen. That's the place where we're meant to be. Klai Yisrael is supposed to be set there in its own kind of individual way. That's why, if you look in Bereishis and Perek Memvav and Pasuk Dalet, there the Nativ elaborates on this idea a little bit. That's what Klal Yisrael Yaakov Avinu understood that. Yaakov Avinu understood that. Says the Medrash. But what happened? What happened is Yosef is there, and when Yosef passes away. This is the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Yosef passes away. What does the Torah tell us? V'yamas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hador ha'hu. It's an amazing, just read up psukim. Yosef passes away, everyone from that door. Uvenei Yisrael paru v'yisritzu. B'nei Yisrael have a lot of children. V'yirbu v'yatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. And B'nei Yisrael have lots and lots of progeny, lots of children. V'atimali ha'aretz osam. And the world and the aretz is filled with them. Point that Sif, what's Chumash telling us? So long as Yosef Avinu was alive, as Mitzatik was alive, Yosef ensured that Klai Yisrael would follow the Mesorah of Yaakov. Yosef made sure that Klai Yisrael was going to stay in Eretz Goshen. But what happened? When Yosef passes away, suddenly there's no one there making sure the Mesorah gets kept. So when Yosef passed away, what happens? This pasuk is not Stam's story about B'nai Yisrael and having had lots of children. is that where were they? Vatmalei ha'aretz osam. They were spread out everywhere. Bnei Yisrael stopped living in Eretz Goshen separately. Bnei Yisrael started to be fully, fully integrated with all of the other people. Says the Tziv, how do I know that Klal Yisrael was fully integrated with all the other people? Parshas Bo. What happened to Parshas Bo? Pesach. What does the Rebbe have to do? Skip over the homes. Where are Bnei Yisrael living? Apparently, with all the other people. Why weren't they in Eretz Goshen anymore? Because they stopped living in Eretz Goshen. They made the choice not to live in Eretz Goshen anymore. That this came because Bnei Yisrael stopped being separate. It came because Bnei Yisrael stopped being together. Says the Netziv, that is pshat in a medrash. The medrash in Shmos Rabbah tells us that Misha makes Yosef, when Yosef passes away, Bnei Yisrael stopped performing the mitzvah of Bris Milah. What's pshat? Says Netziv, the following very elegant Torah. What is Bris Milah all about? Bris Milah is part of the Bris, of the unique covenant between us and Ribbono Shel Olam. A person that's not Mekayim the din of Bris Milah, it's one of the two mitzvos asei, which the chiyuv is kares. And many Achronim explain that the kares, if you don't do Bris Milah, you're nichrasa from Am Yisrael, is not a punishment. It is rather a natural consequence. If you don't have a Bris Milah, you are not part fully of Klal Yisrael. In Arel, it doesn't have the same degree of Kedushas Yisrael. It doesn't have the same, or it doesn't have the same shaychus to Klal Yisrael. So what happens? Misha Meis Yosef, what does Klal Yisrael stop doing? Bris Milah. Why do they stop doing Bris Milah? They want to be like all the other nations. They want to do what everybody else is doing. They're looking and they feel like they are left out. They're looking, maybe not on a screen, and they're seeing the way that other people live their lives, and there's a degree of jealousy there, and they want to be like that. And Yosef was there and saying, Yosef's there and like saying, live in Eretz Goshen. That's what you're supposed to do. Your impact's going to be greater there. And you're like fire. You're so elevated. You can play in the NBA. And what ends up happening? They move to Mitzrayim, to Malach Eretz Osam, and they live everywhere. And they go and they suddenly become fully, fully integrated. Many of us may know, he's taking sides on a question, L'chora. Many of us know a Medrash. The Medrash tells us that Bnei Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, Shaloshinu es Lashonam, Veloshinu es Shemam, they kept their names, and they kept their Lashonos, etc. It's not clear all Mefarshim agree that that's related to Pshat. The Rashbam thinks Bnei Yisrael likely spoke Egyptian. Looking at Pesukim and Sefer Yecheskel, I think in Perek Kaf there speaks very intensely about Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim being so integrated of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Kemat, we know it's for Kabbalah. They were Kemat at the end when they belonged to the Umas Olam. We needed to be brought out then in a certain sense. It all comes from the Tziv. That's what happened in Mitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael were so integrated. They were so integrated that look what happened. Madgar Miz Yosef said, Al Kosha Knafti. She calls Manja Yosef Chai, Lohiniach La Adas Yisrael Lador Bekar Mitzrayim. Of Mishim Es Yosef, Kabu Dirasim Bechol Mitzrayim. Of Mishim Hachi, Pasku Milimo. And that's part of the sin. And says the Netziv in a very loaded four words, V'chein hu ledoros bizman, five words, bizman ha-galus. This is always what happens in galus. In galus, Bnei Yisrael, often this happens, we want to be more integrated, and we believe that if we'll be more integrated, everything will be okay, and then we'll all be good. And if only with that, says Netziv, it's not true. That we're supposed to be a little bit separate. Am Yisrael, he writes in Perek of Gimel there in Bamidbar, Kishu levad levadad ve'eno misari v'imayim yishkon b'menucha u'v'kavod. Then we'll be in a chashuv place because fire is respected on its own, but surrounded by water, fire gets entirely put out. Says Netziv something amazing.
Okay.
What's the antidote to stay separate? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam give us in order for us to stay separate? And the answer is two things. Two things that can keep a person on some level separate. One, this is a discussion in Devarim in Perek Lamed Beis, that part of what keeps a person separate is when they're very, very busy with their work. That if I'm consumed in a very active way with being able to make a parnasa, if I'm consumed in a very active way with being able to get a job. So then, you know, v'halichos olam, sometimes it's hechwicham lekach. Sometimes it forces me because I'm very, very busy doing work. And that happens in Eretz Yisrael. That in Eretz Yisrael, a person can be very, very busy. The way that the agriculture was set up, you can be very, very busy working, very busy working. And the original formation of the nation takes place dafka in the Midbar. Why dafka in the Midbar? Remember, we were as separate as you could possibly get. Everything's taken care of. We were formed as being separate. They're bonus matter to throw. One way that we stay separate is dafka by being is by being busy with our work and not having the time. He says, you know, when there's free time, so that's when we end up looking around ourselves, you know, looking over our shoulder a lot more. A lot of free time, other things going on, so that's when we sort of glance a little bit. That's when we glance a little bit to see what exactly is going on, to see what's going on. Says Mitziv as follows. There's something else also which keeps Jews separate, and that is the gift of Torah. That is the gift of Torah. Torah, and this goes back to Maimed Har Sinai also, and this is where the antidote is there also. Am Yisrael is the Am Segula, Misham Yaratzin Eli Yisrael, but the Torah was the antidote for all of this. In what way is Torah the antidote for all of this? So we know already that there's an element of Torah which is unique for the Jewish people. It's a Matana Tova, just like Shabbos is a Matana Tova, so too is a gift of Torah. And the Umos HaOlam aren't allowed, not only keep Shabbos, but the Umos Olam are not allowed to learn Torah. We referenced last week questions in Rambam, questions in Chuvas HaRambam, questions in Meiri, questions in Sri Deish, questions in all the posts, in Tosfos. When can a non-Jew learn Torah? When can a non-Jew not learn Torah? There's an element of Torah which is not shayach to non-Jews. There's an element of Torah which is limited to Klal Yisrael. Perish Bal Peh, that's limited dafka to Klal Yisrael. We told this mice over once, I think in the past. There's a very chashav Rosh Yeshiva that was once teaching in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, in a local sort of like high school in Eretz Yisrael. And it's parent-teacher nights. He's a big Talmid Chacham. Parent-teacher night, this is probably 40, 50 years ago. And two of the parents that came over and they said, thank you so much for teaching our kids. We're so happy. And he said, why are you so happy? And he said, we are Christian missionaries. And we want our children to get a good background in basic Jewish texts. We think that it'll be able to help them in their lives and in what we hope they're going to do with their adulthood, to try to convince others to be able to also become, following their path. And we think this is an important part of the development. So they're in the school. We're so happy that you're teaching them Torah. This Rosh Hashiva, I don't want to say his name because I don't know if he likes my speaking public. I don't know. So he goes over to the Rosh Hashiva, the Menahel of that school, and he says, it was a local, like, from public school, so you can't really take him out of the school and anything like that. And says, the thing, I'm not teaching him anymore. I'm done. I won't teach him anymore. I have no, not happening. And then he said, no, you have to teach them. So I think that the pshara was, if I remember correctly, they went to the Degel Reuven Katz, who was one of them, was a dayan, I think in Petach Tikva, Rav Avadi, when he was younger, was on that base in the Degel Reuven. They went to the Degel Reuven to ask his child what they should do. Degel Reuven's son, Rav Michal Katz, was a Rosh Hashiva in YU. One of his great Talmidim is Mashgiach in Yisrael nowadays. But Degel Reuven, and the pshara was that they changed their limud, and the rest of the year they learned in Yanei Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach B'Iyan. Shev B'nei Noach, meaning that's relevant. We'll teach you what you have to do with Shev B'nei Noach. They learn Sanhedrin, learning Sanhedrin. Maybe a little bit more, the shaila is about how broad you can be, Shev B'nei Noach, but that was what the shift was. Because Torah at its core, there are elements of Torah. Klal Yisrael. It's Klal Yisrael's gift. It's Klal Yisrael's gift. And the more that you learn Torah, so if you have this like secret that other people know, the more it builds a certain kind of exclusive feel. That if there's a certain secret that I know something and I only tell 3 people and we are all in on it and nobody else knows, it builds an exclusivity. It builds a feeling, correctly so, of there's something that we know, which is, and especially if it's a chush of a gift, it builds something which can be very, very unique. Like the phenomenon we know from the, you know, basically the Shlaz read of Rashi and Parshas Vayeshev, that maybe only the children of Leah had access to a certain Sefer Yetzirah, that they had something that was unique, and that's part of what generated the jealousy and the friction within the brothers of Yosef. There's something going on there that is wildly Torah can build it up. Because of that, says the Netziv, I now understand the Maimar Chazal. It's a Maimar Chazal which is so fascinating because we quoted the Vort not that long ago from Rabbi Lam on this, but we say at the end of a lot of Masechtas, Tamid Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. Shnemar? Lubdei Hashem, Atikri Banaich, Ella Banaich. Great. So, we have the. I don't know. There is a shaila. I would point out. You know, it was like a shaila at the end of davening. when you can take your tefillin off, you know? Never mind, I'm not there. But there's a, but says the Netziv, what's pshat? Tamidi chachamim amar b'mshalom ba'olam. So Rabbi Lam asked the question in terms of like, this doesn't seem to be true. Tamidi chachamim amar b'machlokas a lot of the time. Anyone follow the news in the last week and a half? Are we sure that Tamidi chachamim, all Tamidi chachamim amar b'mshalom ba'olam? So personally, share my thoughts for that and who isn't qualified to be Tamidi chachamim a different time. But there is a, but I don't know if always be associated with chachamim with being mar b'mshalom ba'olam. So Rabbi Lam had a mahalach. How is a halachic statement to make chamim archayev lahar b'shalom ba'olam? It says something amazing. Torah is what separates Klal Yisrael from Yumas Ha'olam. And the more that you learn Torah, the more that you learn Torah, in a certain sense, what are you also? You're also more separate. And as Rabbi Sacks spoke a lot about this idea of the Atzuki Banayach Elav Bonayach, you're a builder. You're building a society. Society centered around Torah. You're able to integrate. You're able to not. You're able to build a Yedei Torah a Tzibor, to build a Yedei Torah a Tzibor, and you know what happens when you build a Tzibor infused with Torah, they become separate. And you know what? Therefore, you create when you have a Tzibor that becomes separate, Shalom, because Dafka the integration which causes something to be very dangerous. The integration is dangerous. So if we hold over a door. Because the nature of Am Yisrael is we always want to be like the Umas Ha'olam, like come with the parts of Melech and parts of Shoftim. You know, we want to be like the Umas Ha'olam. So that's it. But when you have a society based on Torah, so Torah is Marvin Shalom, Marvin Shalom Ba'olam. The Netziv, it's an amazing Ha'ara. And here I want to talk about it. So I want to shift for a moment. The Netziv here is developing a Torah, which is so wildly chashuv about what's going on with Bnei Yisrael, what's going on with Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael, why exactly, what caused it, the Misa of Yosef leads to this. Yaakov intentionally has them go to Yosef. By the way, also, what is Yaakov Machbid that they do prior to going down to Mitzrayim and Goshen? Build the yeshiva, because that's how you build Shalom. That's how you build separate. That's how you remind Klal Yisrael that we're not like everyone else. The Isser of Chukas Akum is obviously very much tied to that also, of making sure there's a degree of uniqueness and a degree of being separate. It's part of the Am Segula and the Am HaNivchar. And for the Netziv, it's not that we're not having impact on others, but fire's impact is often better done with a degree of separation, with a degree of distance. A degree of separation and a degree of distance. For the Netziv, that's what it is. But is it only true about Yaakov Avinu and Bnei Yisrael and the Shibur of Mitzrayim and the fact that in Pesach our homes are interconnected? It's not only that for the Netziv. This is a Yisod. I mean, it's quoted at the end Shuvas, quoted at the end of the Haggadah. Family is sitting there at the Seder. That this is what's going on. So b'chol dor v'dor om demaleinu l'chaloseinu. That it's something which is there. Mamish, you're there at the state. These ideas are relevant. And the Tziv is suggesting that an ideal society on some level doesn't have no integration, but has minimal integration, has clear boundaries and clear lines. So as the Tziv of that, that's what it is in a certain sense. It is, here we're speaking again, between the Umos HaOlam and Klal Yisrael. We spoke already about the Netziv, about within Klal Yisrael, from and not from, and how we think the interaction should and shouldn't look like. But this is even, this Klal Yisrael, Umos HaOlam, there has to be a degree of separation in order for Klal Yisrael to be set up as well as possible. This is obviously not the only view. It's not the only view. It is a very significant one, and it's a good example of for the Netziv, building a Torah Hashkafa comes out of Torah. It comes out of his read of Chumash, out of his read of Midrashim. There's something here, Ma'amari Chazal, something here about the way Bnei Yisrael understood what was taking place, which is indicative of, which is important for, that's part of what Bilam picked up on, that's part of what Moshe, Shiras HaZinu, is partially about, the uniqueness, but uniqueness and separate nature of Klal Yisrael. And that's part of what's going on. That's what we have to have. That is part of the unique kiyum. If you're a Netziv person, here's an amazing phenomenon. Everyone holds of the Netziv on a level of legacy. You have different seaboards that want to view themselves as being the real mamshech, you know, of the Netziv. It's pretty clear that if you come in a certain hashkafa, this Netziv is beautiful for arguing for a degree of separation and lack of integration with Umas Ha'olam. To whatever extent we can have a society which is separate, so that's a very, very, you know, powerful and very, very beautiful thing. In the Tzioni scene, they happen to love this Netziv because
this may be the ultimate fulfillment of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael right now. That Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael right now is modeling a degree of a society built around Jews, And not because we have no integration with the Ummah Olam, not because we have no impact, but from a distance in a certain sense. But many of us may know, Rav Soloveitchik very famously in an essay, Confrontation of Soloveitchik very famously commented based on a different pasuk, a more complex interaction. That for the Rav, it wasn't as simple as this, but it's when Avram interacts with Ephron in Parshas Chayisara, what is Avram's line? Ger v'toshav, to be a ger v'toshav anochi imachem. And if Soloveitchik developed the idea at length that for the Rav, it's actually a little bit of both. There's a tension between being a ger and a toshav. Between being a ger, we have to have our firm boundaries and our firm, these are the points where we are different, and toshav, that there are areas in which there is more integration, and there are areas in which we do have more impact. But even for Soloveitchik, this idea of the ger, of nitziv, is very, very important. It's an important mahalach, it's an important insight as far as maintaining a degree of separation. The only question is there also, the Rav maintained, there's also that very strong piece of being to feel, again, that tension, but also a bit of toshav. And also being able to integrate a little bit. But different worlds are going to navigate this idea, this mahalif, in different ways as it seems to play itself out. What exactly is going on with B'nai Yisrael here? Where exactly is their sort of a place to develop that kind of an idea? In that sense, the Torah, it's when Tziv is so good at this, that when you have someone, you have this also, a couple of Rishonim also, but when you have someone that wrote on everything, they wrote on Chumash, and they were on Chas, and they wrote Chuvas, and they were Manhigim, and they wrote on the She'iltos, on the Sifri. So these Torahs are all those places. The Nitziv, what's beautiful, is how there's an integrated Mahalach, and the Nitziv understands you can't talk about X not in the context of Y. And the Torah's ideas are so, so incredibly relevant. The idea that took place by the Avos about Tefillah impact what our Tefillah looks like. The ideas about Moshe and Aaron about Talmud Torah impact the way that our Talmud Torah is supposed to look. The ideas that impact Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, and Mitzrayim impact the way we're supposed to set up a community in Galus. That there are things here, there's Torah here for the Nitziv, that it builds the Hashkafa, the Torah and the Nitziv. But it comes from that. We know a lot of these Torahs that we quoted now, there's an amazing set of Sfarim called Otos Gedol Yisrael, Rav Tzuriel. Shlita, the former Mashgiach of our yeshiva, has a lot of popular svarim. He has three volumes or so called Otros Gedol Yisrael, which is on different Gedolim, on the Nitziv, and on the Rambam, the Rachal, and the Maral, where he takes those thinkers and he gives you just tons of mekoros of them from all their writings on different topics, So Tzuriel quotes many, many more mekoros here in Otros Gedol Yisrael, and Otros on Nitziv, with many, many more marmakomos here, where he plays that. Uzafka, I can even say that when we were going to my father's svarim, I positioned myself to get my father's copy of Tzuriel's Otros Gedol Yisrael. That was I was with my family bought them, and that I was able to. But that's it's a very chashish farm. Tzuriel's farm are all online, very very beautiful, really very very beautiful. And here there's some very important Torah about Yitzias Mitzrayim and what it was all about. Some very important Torah. Go back to this shaila of Am HaNivchar. We're supposed to be the Am HaNivchar. And it's important that we embrace that. The way that Rabbi Lam once said it, with this we'll conclude in the drasha, which I am absolutely in love with, is that it is important that we are the chosen people. It is also important that we choose Hashem. That the choice has to go both ways. Hashem chose us. We have the potential to be elevated and unique. First round draft picks. The shaila is how much we choose. And for the Nitziv, if we choose and we choose properly, shalom, labetach, it'll all be good. And if we choose and we choose poorly and we choose, you know what, I'd rather just play in this league, I'd rather play in that league, there's shtickel bizayon which can be present there. There's a little bit of embarrassment which can be present there. But again, this tension, this is the mahalach of the Nitziv. There's a tension here about integration with outside world and things like that. But certainly his mahalach is, I think, a very, 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 very beautiful one. Yeah, Dustin, what's up? Sure.